For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. But he also establishes another point, that the child of God is not free to ignore God nor to live in sin. The reason why I am dealing with this today is because it seems to me that there has come to be a disconnect between the idea that we are saved by grace and the idea that we are not at liberty to sin. It seems that some people have forgotten the second part of this. It seems to me that we're just in a world today that those who are religious have the idea that it really doesn't matter what they believe with regard to what we must do to worship God acceptably, that they don't think it really matters how they live, whether they drink or curse or lie or anything else. It's okay because we're saved by God's grace. And what I'm wanting you to know and have no doubt about is that the grace of God is not going to take care of those things that we just do in disregard of His Word. So we're not going to be able to count on that. We need to know that. So I want to emphasize this point today. The idea that we are saved by the grace of God is connected with the idea that we are not at liberty to sin. There are two passages, one Romans 6 and then another one Colossians 2. And I'm going to look first at Romans. So if you want to turn, that'll be fine. It's interesting that Todd read Romans 6 today, and I was thinking, you know, of getting up here and saying that Todd and Bernie and I had just put all this together. Well, Bernie and I did, sort of. But then Todd read this Romans 6, and it's just so interesting how everything just went together in connection with this lesson. The question at the beginning of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer, God forbid. Other translations say, certainly not. In the original, it would pretty well be, let it not be. Let it not be. It is a very strong negative. So, now look carefully, let this register. Shall we continue? The answer in the strongest terms is no, in no way. And when he says, what shall we say then? He is talking about a possible conclusion that someone might draw. Would it be a proper conclusion from the knowledge that we are saved by the grace of God through faith? Would it be a proper conclusion to say that therefore it doesn't matter about sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer that he gives is, God forbid. Now then, notice the reason why God forbid. The reason why we cannot continue in sin that grace may abound is because we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? We who died to sin. When we became Christians, that was what we were supposed to do. Now when we are baptized, there are some things that happen. They just follow as a result. Like if you come to God and you're baptized because you believe in Jesus and you want the forgiveness of your sins, when you do that, you get the forgiveness of your sins. But there is something that does not happen automatically, and that is the ceasing to sin. All right? Now get that. Ceasing to sin does not happen automatically. And you can't think that it's just going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen if you and I don't make it happen. That must be emphasized in the strongest of terms. Paul proceeds to show in this passage that in the process of becoming a Christian, we are supposed to make profound changes in our attitudes and in our conduct that will totally alter our lifestyle. Now, this is a commitment. This is what I'm talking about that does not automatically happen. This is a commitment that is supposed to accompany our salvation. All right, notice how he develops this point. In Romans 6 and verse 4, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. I've underlined the idea walk in newness of life to signify the alteration in attitudes and conduct that will totally alter our lifestyle. As Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Again, if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, everyone notice this, okay? Will you look at this? There are two points being made here. The likeness of His death, the likeness of His resurrection. Now, what I want to do is to see how is it the likeness of His death? What about this likeness of His death? What about this likeness of His resurrection? How do we become united with Him in this? First of all, consider the likeness of His death. When Jesus died, He put away the former life He had lived. When He died, He put away the former life He had lived. He no longer was subject to death, no longer was in His humiliation. He had put away that life. When He died, He put away the former life that He lived. Now, likewise, when we die, we put away the former life that we lived, a life given to sin. That's a simple parallel. Romans 6:20. For when ye were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness, meaning that you didn't worry about it. It was not something on your mind. You did not consider it any kind of a duty of yours to walk in the way of righteousness when you were given to sin. And that's true. When people are given to sin, they just walk freely in it. They don't worry about doing right. But when we die with Christ, we are to put away the former manner of life that we live, the life that was given to sin. So I hope you see the parallel there now, that when Jesus died, He ceased a phase of life that He had lived. And so when we die to sin with Him, meaning when we are baptized with Him, then we are also to put away the former life that we lived, a life given to sin. Now consider the idea of the likeness of His resurrection. This was a new phase of His life, not subject to death anymore, not an offering for sin ever again. That was over and gone. Now He was going to live in His exaltation. Now He was going to rule. It was a different phase of His life completely. Now, Jesus did not have the difference between He was a sinner and then He stopped being a sinner. That was not the change, but there was a change. The point Paul is making is there was a big change in the existence of Jesus. And we have to make a big change in our existence that parallels the change He made. So we are to live a new life, dead unto sin. Romans 6:11, even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So we're to live a new life, dead unto sin, meaning that we are not responsive to sin. Excuse me. When sin comes and makes its approach to us, we are supposed to reject it, refuse it. And my brethren and sisters, I just believe there are a lot of times we're not doing that. And we've got to be careful because we cannot assume that, oh, it doesn't matter. The grace of God's going to take care of it. No, it will not. If we don't change the lifestyle to accompany our baptism, then the grace of God is not going to take care of that. It is only as we genuinely show God that we are making a change of our lives and that we are committing ourselves unto Him that then He will pay attention to us and will help us. He's not going to do it if we don't make that change and that commitment. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? So if we're continuing to live therein, then that means we haven't died to it. We have not put it away. We have not repented of it. And we have not quit it. He also says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore. reign in your mortal body. Sin is something we aren't to put away. Note the points that are made in Colossians 2:20 through 4:6. So if you have your Bible, it would be helpful for you to look at this. Colossians, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 20. Hey, now if you have your Bible, look with me at this passage. Beginning from about verse 11 of chapter 2 of Colossians, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. Here circumcision is used in the sense of preparing oneself in order to be what God would have him to be. Just like in the Old Testament, for a child to be regarded as the seed of Abraham and to be a part of the covenant God made with Abraham and so on, circumcision was to be a part of that. But this is a circumcision not made with hands. In other words, this is a spiritual circumcision that he's talking about here. And notice that he talks about the being buried in baptism, the same topic as is discussed in Romans chapter 6. So having been buried with him, now watch this, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now right there, you've got the same two basic points that we've already looked at in Romans 6. Having been buried with him in baptism, being also raised with him through faith. All right, now move on down a few verses and come down to verse 20. We're going to see the same two basic points made in Romans 6 repeated here. Colossians 2:20. If ye died with Christ. We've emphasized that by underlining it. If you died with Christ. Now, he's been talking in the verses leading up to this about that very point, that you died with Christ. So why does he say, if you died with Christ? Because we, by our conduct, determine whether it appears that we have died with Christ or if we have not died with Christ. Again, it is a matter of our conduct and how we live that makes that clear. If you died with Christ, look, if then you were raised together with Christ, those are the two points. If you died with Christ, if you were raised with Christ. Same two basic points made in Romans 6. And what he's saying about them is basically the same thing also. That if we died with him, there are certain things to be put away. If we were raised together with him, then there are certain new things that we are to put on and that we are to have begun to do. Notice how the rest of Colossians 3 and chapter 4 through verse 6 is arranged to reflect these two statements. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about there, but as you look at your Bible, you see in Colossians 2:20, if you died with Christ, and then Colossians 3:1, if you were raised with Christ. So there's a big if here. And the if is raised sometimes by our conduct. If you died with Christ, then why do you live as somebody in the world? See, if you died with Christ, then there are certain things that are to have followed that. Then in chapter 3 and verse 1, if you were raised with Christ, meaning if you really were raised with Christ, then there are certain things that are to happen, certain things that are to go on. And I want you to notice also that after mentioning these two points in Colossians 2:20, Colossians 3:1, then he notice he says in verse 5 of chapter 3, put to death therefore, all right, here are things we're to put away as we die unto them, as Christ died unto his former life. Now look in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Now, here's the new life. So right here in Colossians, just as in Romans 6, we see the old life. Here is the new life. Now, here in Colossians, as he's talking about what we are to put on from verse 12, you come to verse 18, and here he instructs why. He instructs children. He instructs fathers. He instructs servants. He instructs masters at the beginning of chapter 4. All of these are being instructed about how we are to live. And from the negative standpoint, put these things away. And from the positive standpoint, put on these things, these characteristics. And so that's the thing that he is emphasizing here. If you died with Christ. If you died with Christ, then what? Then put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So this is just showing you these two points made here in this letter to the Colossians, just like Paul is saying in the letter to the Romans as well. So if you died with Christ, then here's what you do. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, if you were raised together with Christ, then look at Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. So remember, we cannot merely claim to be Christians. We have to be Christians. I'm talking with people a lot of the time. And that's how I find out what people are thinking today and how they are thinking. And I'll have people say things like, it's not the matter of the commandments of God. It's a matter of loving God. And then I will point out to them, how do you learn how to love God? How do you learn what God is like? How do you learn all of that? You learn it by the commandments and the principles that are given to us. And we can't just ignore those things, but that's what is going on. And we need to be very careful about that. We cannot be Christians and ignore the commandments of God. We are not exempt from obedience. Now, I have some other things that I want to say about this. But I'm going to wait until this evening to do that. So what I have been doing this morning is showing you that according to Romans 6 and according to Colossians 2 through the rest of chapter 4 and verse 6, that we're seeing that when conversion takes place, that there's both a positive and a negative that is to accompany it. And if we don't have that, then our conversion is not complete and it is not genuine. Now this evening, I'm going to take a number of examples and we're going to examine this in more detail. And we're going to look at this idea about what we're to do with the commandments and the principles that God has given us. Hope you can be here this evening for that study. We have a good number of people here today. We have visitors. We have a lot of visitors. And we're glad to have you with us. And as you can tell, I have a cold. Others of you have colds. We've had sickness. Some people are better. Some people are still suffering. But we're so thankful for the good things, the good news. And as I look out, here Mary Ruth is sitting with us today after having had the surgery. And, of course, there's just a little glow coming from over in the vicinity of the Greggs. And we're so thankful for the good things that God has done for us in answer to our prayers. It may be that you're here today and not a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, then we call upon you to submit your life to Him by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized to have your sins forgiven. These are the things that God has commanded that you do. And if you're a child of God but you have been unfaithful, then make your life right before God. Take heed to the things that have been said this morning and accompany your baptism. Make it real, not just being dipped in water, but make it real by making the commitment that conversion requires. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.